The Jerry Doyle Show.
All right, Lisa Kuypers-Kamen back on the program with us. She's an internationally recognized positive psychology coach. She's an author. Her latest book, Are We Happy Yet? 8 Keys to Unlocking a Joyful Life. She's the host of the weekly Harvesting Happiness Talk Radio, and she's a director of HHForHeroes.org. They provide positive psychology coaching curriculum to wounded warriors and their families challenged with things like PTSD, MST, MSA, etc. Ms. Kamen, welcome back.
Oh, happy to be here with you, Jerry. Thanks for having me.
A pleasure. Couple of questions. Are we more attracted to the positives or the negatives? And I guess the second part of that would be, which is easier to feed into, the positives or the negatives? Let's start with the first one. Are we hardwired or predisposed to seek out positives or negatives?
Well, I think that people tend to glom on to the negative. You know, we're attracted by, accidents on the highway. We're attracted to bad news. And I'm not sure what it is in our brains that make us this way. But conversely, it's also infectious. Any emotion, positive or negative, is infectious. So when we look at what's going on in the news today and we look at everybody, you know, being in a dither and upset and unhappily pissed off, it feeds, the mood feeds on each other. So one of the ways to combat this kind of behavior is to, we talked earlier about centering yourself, you know, getting real and clear with yourself and doing activities that help alter the mood, which can be as simple as going on a news diet for a couple of days. That may help.
I like that, a news diet. I mean, I'm looking at cable TV, and it is so toxic that it started to spill over into the Today Show. I found myself one morning yelling at Al Roker, who does the weather on the Today Show, because I had reached such a toxicity level with Fox and MSNBC and CNN and all the news that, you know, we try to aggregate for the program. And it was just like he said something. I was like, oh, would you just shut up and do the weather? And I was like, oh, my God, Jerry, you're yelling at Al Roker, the most benign being on the planet. And I like the idea of a news diet.
Yes, a news diet. Another one is a core dump. Here's another little tip that we don't often think of. Why not take out a piece of paper and a pen and just dump everything that you're pissed off about on that piece of paper? And when you're done and exhausted by that, turn the paper over and then start writing all the good things in your life.
So kind of like an accountant with debits and credits.
Exactly. You know, the positives and negatives, the pros and the cons. And the cons will outweigh, the pros will outweigh the cons. I'm sure of it. In 99.9% of the people that are walking in America, even if they are going through hard times, they will find more to be grateful for if they just take a minute.
But it seems like once you start to, like, write down that list of, let me tell you some of the things that aren't exactly fitting well with me today, that does that negative energy, is it, you know, it's like kind of like, you've a young thoroughbred running around in the field, and you see them kicking and snorting and blah, blah, blah. But eventually they work the kicks out, and then they seem to be a little bit more centered and a little bit more calm. So that would be like the metaphoric core dump where you're just getting those kicks out. I'm putting this down and blah, blah, blah. And even if the pen rips through the paper, because you're writing very diligently, eventually that will burn itself out to a certain degree, correct?
I would agree with you. I mean, we as humans have a desire to be heard, and we don't always have people next to us that want to hear what we have to say, right? I mean, you and I may, because we host radio shows, but the average person, you know, wants to just be heard. So this is another way of getting it out, getting out the frustrations, getting out the emotions, negative and positive. But also, it's a mood smoother. Just like you say with the horse, once it gets its kicks out, it's calmer. There's a release. There's an actual change in the physiology in the body because the mood has been diffused. The electricity has been discharged.
Yeah, you know what's funny is if, like, somebody says to you, hey, how you doing today? You go, well, you know what? I got up this morning a little too early, and I haven't really felt good all day. I wasn't sure if it was breakfast, you know, and the commute was kind of – most people just want to hear, I'm okay, you? Good. Okay, then let's talk. You know, it's like we really don't care about what the other person's thinking or feeling, because when they start to actually express it, you go, whoa, 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 whoa. I just wanted the standard. I'm good. You know, but if you actually start to engage somebody in conversation, a lot of people's lives are very busy and we don't have time for other people's stuff because we got enough of stuff of our own going on.
Yeah, we want to hear bracketed emotion. That's what we expect.
You know, you have a lot of good terms. Bracketed emotions. Hold on here. Bracket. I'm writing all this stuff down. Bracketed emotions, core dump, news diet. Bracketed emotions. So we're not creating actual space to have other people tell us what they're really thinking, feeling, or going through. We just go, give us the cliff notes.
Exactly. Give us the cliff notes. And, you know, it kind of makes us, on average, a little bit like the thought police, which is some of the very stuff that pisses many of us off, which is very interesting, I might point out.
Yeah. You know, I was coming out of a restaurant last week, whenever the hell it was. And I just had a great meal, and I just had a great conversation with somebody, and the waitress was hot. And, you know, it was just one of those things. And I'm driving down the road, and I see this guy in a walker, and he's going through the intersection, and he collapses. And I was like, oh, put the flashes on, get over there, blah, blah, blah. He's flat out trying to get him going. This other guy comes over. He helps. We spent about 20 minutes trying to move him to the side of the road. Couldn't do it. Had to call an ambulance. Cops show up, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I was talking to him. His name was Ed. You know, you got a diabetic. Do you need some medication? You know, this, that, blah, blah, blah. Your ankles are swollen. And then all, you know, and we had a conversation. And then the guy that I was with, we're driving back and we're talking about Ed. And they go, well, at least he gets to the hospital, blah, 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 blah. And the next day I was driving past the hospital. And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder how Ed is. And in a certain way, you know, you get yourself out of yourself and you come to realize just how good you have it because of what you see others going through. And you appreciate what it is that you have. And I think that's a way that maybe we unbracket our emotions towards others, which does have a benefit to ourselves.
Agreed. And, you know, when we get out of our own way, we tend to be happier. It's hard to believe because we get stuck in our problems, stuck in our lives and situations, but the doing something for somebody else or being aware of someone else's plight, even just devoting a nanosecond of empathy towards it, will change our own mood.
Yeah, and he said to me, he goes, don't call 911. If an ambulance comes, I'm going to go to the hospital, and you're going to have one pissed-off cowboy here. And I go, better to be a pissed-off cowboy than a dead cowboy. And, you know, and it was just like, you know, it kind of puts things in perspective. And here's another thing that you write about and you lecture about as a positive psychology coach is being active in the hobby that you've put on hold. And that goes to feeding our passions, correct?
Correct. It's feeding our passions and also getting into flow. Flow being that groove that we all know when we are doing something that we're impassioned by, we lose track of time and space, and we're just in it, and we feel really comfortable in our own skin. So that's why picking up a hobby is a good thing, especially something that we've always wanted to do or maybe we used to do and put aside because we got too busy or we're too pissed off at all the work that we have. So focusing in on something that it really is about us and our desires.
And one of my passions is trimming palm trees and working in the garden in my backyard. And as you point out, I can start at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning. Next thing I know, it's 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's like time just kind of just breezes by because you're doing something that you're passionate about. You can see the results of your work. You maybe put a little bit of sweat equity, especially here in August when it's 115 degrees. But, you know, it's like you do then start to really get into something and it takes you away from something else. It's like the mail when you go on vacation. It's going to be there when you get back. But when we're here, we check it every day. We don't have to, but we do. And it's like your problems will be there waiting for you when you get back to them later.
And oftentimes when you take that opportunity to have a break and engage in something that really creates a sense of flow and you're feeling really good about things, in the background, the subconscious, the unconscious mind is working through stuff, and you may not be aware of it. And when you come back to the work or when you come back to do your problem solving and back to real life, you may find that the decisions and the doing may be a little bit more graceful because you've given yourself the break.
I got an email here from Tim in Tucson, and he said, ask your guest what she does when she gets pissed off. So I guess he's assuming. I guess he's assuming that you're always happy, happy, joy, joy.
No. Not always Mrs. Happy. No. In fact, the yellow smiley face is quite annoying. What I do when I get pissed off is I hike, I do yoga, I meditate, and I'm a tango dancer.
All right. I don't have any tango music for you at the moment, but hike,
great.
Yoga, tango.
And meditation.
Now, a lot of people think meditation is like, you know, you light incense and you hit a little bell and you start going, maybe, whatever that is. Is meditation something that, you know, because you have these people that teach these courses, you can get stuff online. Is it something simple that somebody can just do without a great expense or feeling like I have to learn how to meditate? Is there something simple that people can do to center themselves through a simple act of meditation? And I don't want to simplify it if it's not, but just something, you know, what do you do?
Okay, the simple meditation that can be learned by anybody all over the world, everybody already knows how to do, and that is to breathe. That we often forget to breathe. We forget to really take in deep cleansing breaths and to exhale and to oxygenate our brains and our bodies. And that's one of the simplest forms of meditation, is to focus on the breath, to stop for a few minutes every day and just take three really deep, beautiful, juicy breaths. And it actually relaxes our body. So that's a simple meditation. I'm simplifying it for the, you know, like elementary school meditation is focusing on the breath.
But, you know, people will say that, you know, when I'm stressed or I'm tense or I'm worried, my chest feels tighter. My muscles feel tighter. I just feel like I'm just a giant ball of, you know, of snot. And, you know, when you open up your chest cavity, relax your shoulders a little bit, take in a deep breath, it does reset or help to reset your body's flow.
It helps with the flow. It also helps bring us back to the present moment, because usually when we're in upset, it's over something that has happened or the anxiety and worry over something that will happen. So when we do the breathing exercises, just a simple breath awareness, we're coming back to the moment where it's usually okay. May not be perfect, but it's okay.
Yeah, and then you kind of build from there. And hiking, obviously, we got that one. Yoga, not for me. What's that one where it's sweaty yoga, where they make it like 120 degrees and they put the humidity at 98%? What is that? Bikram?
Hot yoga.
Hot yoga.
Hot yoga. And it's not for everybody. You know, I myself have tried it a couple of times. I was the one that was like at the door, you know, sniffing for courtesy air, you know, the crack of cool breeze that was coming from the outside.
The crack of courtesy air. That's funny. The crack of courtesy air as opposed to the smell from the other cracks that are in the room.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I would have to imagine by the fifth, sixth, or seventh session of the day in a hot yoga room, you might want to go in with one of those Febreze commercial products.
Febreze and a UV light, you know?
Is this right? Don't take that into some of the hotels in Vegas and put it on the comforters. You're not going to like what you see. Is this also an important exercise for people, is to try and find some humor in all of the carnage that we see out there every day?
Oh, absolutely. The humor is, it's medicine. You know, laughter, like joy, is the best medicine. And, you know, there are no negative side effects to humor, really, as long as it's not at anybody else's expense.
It
really is, it's such a useful tool, and it works.
And you can actually get yourself into a good mood, and you can actually affect your health. There was a story, I was about 1997, 98. So, let's say 25 years ago. I remember the story. There was this guy who was diagnosed with some incurable disease, and he was just given a matter of time, and blah, blah, blah. And the doctors were trying everything they could. They had him hooked up to Christmas trees full of drugs, and he was going through all these treatments, and it wasn't working, and he was dying. And he said, you know what? He said, I'm going to laugh my way to better health. And he got, I don't know, VCRs. That's how old this story is. And he got tapes of TV comedy shows. He got tapes of comedies, movies that were comedies. He looked at the Dean Martin roast. He looked at the Johnny Carson show. He looked at all the things. And he forced himself to do nothing but laugh. Now, I don't know whether there was a medicine involved or there was just some medical miracle that happened. But the guy actually turned his health situation around. And it was, whether it was remission or it was a cure, but he almost like laughed himself to good health. And I remember that story very well. And I was like, I'm a bit of a skeptic of most everything, Ms. Kamen, but especially my own happiness and success. But I remember that story specifically because, and I think that humor and optimism and looking towards the horizon rather than focusing exactly where you feel you might be mired today, that goes a long way towards that attitude and that health and that perspective and that joy.
Agreed. And I think you're speaking of Norman Cousins, Anatomy of an Illness.
Was that the guy, Norman Cousins?
Norman Cousins. And I think it's beyond VHS. I mean, we're going back to beta. I think it's that old.
Oh, really? Okay. I just remember that story, but I was just like,
yeah.
You know, and again, I don't know whether, you know, you have an ability to do something like that, but it's something.
Do.
Yeah, exactly. I like it. I appreciate you joining us on the program. Lisa Kuypers-Kamen. She's a positive psychology coach. She's an author. Her book is Are We Happy Yet? 8 Keys to Unlocking a Joyful Life. She's also a director of HH4Heroes.org. That's HH, the number 4Heroes.org. They provide positive psychology coaching curriculum to wounded warriors and their families, obviously suffering from things like PTSD, MST, MSA, etc. HarvestingHappiness.com is the website. And here's what I learned today. A news diet, a core dump, bracketed emotions, feeding our passions, and hot yoga is not for me. Because if you like yoga and you're looking for the crack of fresh air, I'm already predisposed to not wanting to sign up for anything along those lines. Hike, tango dancing, and breathing, all courtesy of our guest, Lisa Kamen. I appreciate you taking time to join us on the program. Have a great weekend. Can we do this again?
Oh, you too. I'd love to be with you again soon, Jerry. Have a great weekend. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. I appreciate it.
The Jerry Doyle Show.
Take care. We'll wrap it up when we get back here on the Friday edition of the Jerry Doyle Show. All right, ready? Breathe in with me. And out. Don't do it too many times. If you're driving, you might get lightheaded and crash. Stick with me.